Good to see everybody. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Yeah, we got to practice saying it, right? Just got to get it out. It'll be gone in 3 weeks, so just start saying it. Hey, I want to welcome all of our campuses. If you're just joining right now, my name is Travis. I'm one of the pastors that serves on our leadership team here. So shout out to San Marcos, El Cajon, City Heights, Chula Vista, Rock Church Oahu, Rock Church Point Loma, everybody joining online. Why don't you clap your hands, greet your family. Come on. Hey, I love the Rock News mention. A couple things in there I want to highlight. One of them was Toys for Joy. It's the largest Christmas outreach in all of San Diego. We're running like 28 years. This is an incredible ministry. But we're trying to fill the truck with toys digitally. And so all of our campuses today in your lobbies have a toy store. You can go and buy a toy online, or you can just give towards it, or you can just from your seat, not now, pay attention, not now, not now. After the service, text Next Steps to 52525, and you can find out how you can serve, give a toy, be a part of Toys for Joy. Can I get a good amen?
Amen.
Also, one thing before I'll get to the message, we have a ministry. It's a discipleship program, leadership program we call Pastoral Support Team, where we take individuals who have served and been faithful and have leadership on their life, and then we handpick them and say, hey, we feel like you're called to something with more responsibility. And we've done this for years. We call it the Pastoral Support Team, or PST for short. Today is their last Sunday. They commit 2 hours every Sunday, several hours each week. They've been trained in theology. They've been trained in ministry. They've been trained in how to do a funeral, how to do a wedding, how to do a hospital visitation, how to minister to people over the phone and in person. It's such a huge commitment. And today is their last class. They're being commissioned very soon. Can we just thank them, celebrate their faithfulness? Come on. We couldn't do it without you. Don't want to do it without you. Today, we are continuing in our series entitled A Season of Heavenly Peace. How many would say, I need some more peace in my life right now? I need some more peace in my life. Yeah, me too. If we're not careful, all the Christmas stuff, the Christmas crush, it'll get you. But I saw someone post recently that it's not all of the stuff that's coming at us that's overwhelming. It's the fact that we all got FOMO. You want to go to everything. Like, I'm trying to ice skate. I'm trying to put the lights up. I want to do the tree. I want the hot cocoa. I want downtown vibes. I want, you know, snow and the whole thing. I want it all. And it just feels overwhelming. But if you and I aren't careful, you'll miss what God's doing in the season. You just kind of miss what God is doing because I'm trying to be a part and at everything. It can feel like a crush. And so we have this series, A Season of Heavenly Peace, that I think is right on time. And we got that line inspired by the song Silent Night. And we said, let's just do 4 weeks. Silent Night was last week. Today will be Holy Night. Next Sunday is All is Calm. Fourth week is All is Bright. Absolutely. Last week, Silent Night, I told you that while we work, while we wait, God works. And in the silence, if we learn how to wait well, God is faithful to take us to a suddenly breakthrough moment. Today, I want to talk to you about a holy night. Why is Christmas holy, and what makes God so holy, and what's this all about? Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for our time. Thank you for this season, Christmas. Pray that we wouldn't miss what you're doing in the midst of all the activities and all the fun things. We want to do the most faithful things. Thanks for this time today where we come into your house to hear from you, from your scriptures, your word. So speak through us today, through me, for us, on the topic of holy night. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So silent night, holy night. Ever wonder, what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to say that that's holy, or she's holy, or he's holy? Does it mean that, well, if it's holy, it's special? Yeah. Does it mean that it maybe if it's sacred, that's what makes it holy? Or maybe if you're like me, you grew up in a house where there was a room that was the room that no one could sit in, it had the nice furniture, that was the holy room. Anybody got that room in their house growing up? So you had the living room and the family room. The family room was the one where we all hung out in, and the living room was where no one lived. Or my grandma's house had the plastic, you know, you remember that room, right? And it was set apart, it was better than the rest. People snapping fingers in the back. You had the plastic at your house. I see you, ma'am, I see you, right? And you would sit there, and it was kind of sweaty. You'd get up and go like this. You shouldn't be in that room. It was set apart. That's what holy is. It means it's different. It's set apart from the rest. A few months ago, I surprised Vanessa. We went to the John Legend concert at the Rady Shell amphitheater. And it had been, only been like 17 years since we'd seen John Legend. That was our very first date. And so it took me a while to go back to see John Legend, but we had a great time. I bought the tickets online. I didn't go through like Facebook Marketplace or some, you know, Craigslist hookup or something. I did the right thing. Got them to the right place, I thought. And so we went to dinner that night, and the day of comes, and you're supposed to kind of put in your code, and they send you the tickets digitally. You guys track with me. You know what, you've done that before, right? It's the day of. I get the tickets, okay. The tickets aren't coming. The tickets are, I'm refresh. They're not, something's not happening. And so I call this place. I'm not going to blow them up right now, but I call them. I say, hey, something's wrong with the tickets. And they said, I'm so sorry, Mr. Gibson. Sorry, Mr. Gibson, but you've been scammed. I said, no, you've been scammed. I'm gonna get my $400. I don't know about you. So they returned my money. They tried to find us tickets. We couldn't get tickets from them. And so Vanessa and I said, well, why don't we just walk down Embarcadero? And she's got her heels on, takes the heels off. Because, you know, when you got a mile walk in heels, but you're excited, it's all good. You know what I mean? It's all good. But when you're sad, everything hurts. Everything hurts. It's like, ah, my feet, my back, my shoulders, everything. I'm upset. That's both of us, right? Let's talk about me. My feet hurt. And so she's got her shoes, and we're on our way, and we kind of see it. There it is. And I told Vanessa as we got close, I said, babe, what if I just go up there and I just kind of, you know what I mean, like do my thing? And she's like, please don't do you. Don't do your thing. Like whatever that's going to be, I don't want to be a part of it. I said, no. Let me just go and let me just see if I can see somebody. She's okay. You do your thing. I'm going to be over here doing my thing. I don't know you right now. And so I went and I talked to the lady. I just got to know her and gave her a compliment. She had this little nice necklace. I like that necklace. What do you do? Oh, I'm a pastor. What do you do? This day. Oh, okay. VIP tickets is what came out of that. VIP front row tickets. Just doing my thing. Just got the do my thing anointing on me right now. I brought a video because I want to show you. This is us walking to our seats. Take a look. Isn't that beautiful? It's incredible. Here's why I thought, I'm going to record this because this is pretty incredible. I don't know how many, if it's 5,000 people, but I'm recording because we're walking by all the regular people's seats. Okay? We're walking by my old seats. Buy old seats. Buy. I'm going to take a picture of you because I'm on my way to the VIP. Here's where they put us. I'm like, me and John Legend are hanging out now. We just hang out. Like, we're boys. We're having a conversation. There was only one seat in front of us. Incredible. Here's why I share this story with you, because that's what it is to be set apart. Set apart isn't just, I just don't do these things. No, set apart is I'm set apart from these certain things in people, and I'm set apart for these things in certain people. I'm walking by those seats, taking a picture, because I'm set apart from those regular seats, and then I'm coming to the place that I've been set apart for, the VIP seats. That's what it means to be holy. I'm set apart. And here's what 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 says, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Did you know that God commands you and I to be holy? He doesn't just command us to be holy, but he's created us to be holy. And that's the tension that we live in. As a follower of Jesus, or maybe it's your first time and you're thinking, well, this is my first day. I don't even know if I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't know anything about the whole Christmas story, but my friend invited me. But well, just so you know, that's the tension, that God has called us to be set apart from the world and set apart for his glory. That we're called to be in the world, because I live here, but set apart so I'm not of the world. How many know you fall short all the time? That's the problem. Is God says, I want you to be holy as I am holy, but I mess it up all the time. I need Jesus every single day. I've been saved, but I also need saving every single day. I mess it up all the time. You mess it up all the time. I'm just like you, by the way. Excuse me. The minimum qualification to be a follower of Jesus is to admit that you fail, is to admit that I've sinned. And so God's called us to be holy, but it's difficult. Therefore, God in his love for us at Christmas 2,000 years ago sends us the Holy One, his name is Jesus, to live the life that you and I were supposed to live. That's why Christmas is a holy night. Put that up there. I wrote this down. Christmas is a holy night because that was the moment God gave us the most holy life. A holy night because of a holy life, and a holy life because he was a holy king. In Isaiah chapter 6, if you have your scriptures with you, if you've got your Bible, I want to be reading through Isaiah today. It's in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 6, this Old Testament prophet. He sees Jesus in all of his glory, in his holiness. He has a vision, and he sees the Lord in all of his glory. In Isaiah chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. This is what it says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim. Everybody say seraphim. That's an angel, by the way. So you got archangels, and you got messenger angels, and you got worship angels. These are the worship angels, seraphim, each with six wings. Isn't that crazy? But with two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. How many wish you could fly? Come on, wouldn't that be cool? Man, but you got to get six wings, huh? How about that? Yeah, I'll let you fly, but you got to have six wings. They got six wings, and they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among," hello, "people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So Isaiah is wrecked by his sin when he sees the Lord. He goes, "Man, I'm all tore up. I'm messed up. Woe is me. I'm a man of sin. I've fallen short, and I'm looking at perfection. I'm looking at glory, and the angels are all around, and Jesus is high. He's exalted. It says he's on a throne. That's why he's a king. He's got a robe. The robe fills up the whole temple, and the angels are going back and forth with their wings. Holy, holy, holy. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. In this scene, I imagine them kind of like Secret Service protecting him, but also kind of like hype men. You know what a hype man is? You ever been at a concert and the guy or the girl who's the main person is singing or performing, and then behind them you got the guy with the white towel, and he's like, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." That's the hype guy. That's all he, is he in the group? I don't think so. He just makes the other guy look really good. That's all he's there for. So the angels are sitting there, just as holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Back and forth and back and forth. Why do they have six wings? Well, two of them, they cover their what? Their feet. Why? Because maybe everywhere Jesus goes is holy ground. I can't even show him my feet. I'm not worthy of the greatness and the glory. And then two wings, they fly. And then two other wings, they do what? They cover their faces because the glory and the grace and the perfection of Almighty God is too great. I cannot show my face. I cannot gaze at his glory. But God gives Isaiah a picture of Jesus, and he understands in this moment, woe is me. Jesus is the one true God. He is holy because he's set apart. He is above the rest. He is better. And that's why, by the way, he mentions it's the year, did you catch it, that King Uzziah died? Like, why is that in the Bible? Why do I need to know who King Uzziah is? And why is it important that when God gives him this vision that Isaiah says, well, I remember because it was this year. Well, King Uzziah was a famous king. He was a great king of Judah. People wrote songs about him. He was a wealthy king. He was a very successful king. He reigned for 52 years. He was one of only eight kings in Judah where the scriptures say he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. High favor, high praise, high dollar bills. He was a baller. He was him. Come on. He was that guy. But then he gets arrogant, and he begins to feel himself a little bit too much. And he likes the smell of his cologne a little bit too much. And the Bible says that he gets arrogant and prideful, and he gets leprosy, and he dies. But then Isaiah has this vision, and he says, it was that year that God gave me the vision. What does he doing? He's saying, I remember how great King Uzziah was, but he even died. Now I've seen the great one, the most holy king, the King of Kings, the set apart King, the one who won't rule and reign for 52 years. He will rule forever. His peace will go on forever. His rule will be into all eternity. He is above the rest. He's Almighty God. I'm wrecked. The angels go back and forth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. He sees this God, this great God, this great King, and he realizes that's it. He's the one, and that's the story of Christmas, that God is greater than it all. That's the story. He's holy. But Jesus doesn't come at Christmas just to be a holy king, and he doesn't come just to be the king or a king. No, Jesus comes at Christmas, watch this, to be your king. He wants to be your king, so that's the question. Is Jesus your king? He's Isaiah's king. He's the King of Kings. Is he your king? Or is he just a homeboy? Or is Jesus just a friend? Or is Jesus just my ticket out of hell and into heaven? Or is Jesus just the necklace that you wear around your neck? Or is Jesus just the tattoo that you got on that one drunken night because there was no better tattoos to get? It's on my back. Not trying to shame anybody. Shout out to Jesus tattoos. But is that all he is? Is he just a little baby piece in the nativity set? Or is he a king? There's this movie. I'm not saying go watch the movie. I'm not saying I saw the movie. I just say I know the movie. It's called Talladega Nights. And in the movie, the main character is called Ricky Bobby, and he's got a friend, and they drive cars together, and they're sitting around the table celebrating a great victory, and they got sponsorship meals by Taco Bell and KFC, and he says, let's pray. And then one of them goes, dear Lord, baby Jesus. And then one of them stops and says, wait, Jesus grew up. Why are you praying to baby Jesus? And he says, I just like the baby Jesus better. Let me ask you this. What do you see when you think of Jesus? What Jesus have you made better in your life? Well, let me say it this way. When you envision this king, do you see a king or do you see a friend or a bailout or a guy that lives in this book or someone that just lives on Sunday? Isaiah sees him as a holy king. And then three chapters later, he gives us even more detail that brings us to Christmas. In Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6, Isaiah says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. This ain't some King Uzziah 52-year reign. No, it'll never end. He's Wonderful Counselor. He's Mighty God. He's Everlasting Father. He's Prince of Peace. Everything will rest on his back. His government, his rule, his reign will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen. Jesus is absolutely a king, and he will be king forever. I just don't know if he's your king. But that's why you came to church today. Silent night, holy night. Christmas is a holy night because it was the moment that God gave us the most holy life, and that holy life is a king. So why should Jesus be your king? And maybe the question is, what does this king have to offer me at Christmas? Well, a couple things that we can pull out of Isaiah chapter 9. Number one, he wants to offer you to guide you as a wonderful counselor. If you're writing notes, write that down. Number one, to guide you as the Wonderful Counselor. That's what he's offering as a king. In Psalm 73, verse 24, it says, you guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a, not just a good destiny, not just a good future, but a glorious, good, purpose-filled destiny. He's worthy to be your king because he alone can bring you to the future he's planned for you. My family and I, we went to Big Bear last year, and I remember coming up the mountainside, and the traffic was so bad, it got so backed up because it was fogged out. And if you've driven at night in fog, maybe on the way to Big Bear, or you're going to somewhere for the snow, you've been there before. And we're driving up, and cars were pulling over because they couldn't see. They didn't know the direction, and it was almost impossible. And as they're pulling over, I was so grateful that our car had fog lights. Anybody got fog lights in your vehicle? lot of cars do now. Not all of them do, it's okay. But we put on the fog lights, and the fog lights lit up the reflectors on the ground. And so as I'm watching other cars pull over, the fog lights light up the reflectors in our path, and it puts a different type of an illumination on the road ahead. This is what God does. When I seek him as my wonderful counselor who can guide me to my destiny, he puts a different type of illumination on the road ahead. Come on, somebody. He starts to give me wisdom and insight. He begins to speak to me through prayer, through his word. And so I'm not looking to the world to be my wonderful counselor. I'm not looking to him to be my wonderful counselor. My cash isn't king. I can't go to them and that for my counsel, even though some of us try. I go to King Jesus, the one who is holy and set apart, the one that comes to be my wonderful counselor. That's why he should be my king, because he alone can guide me through prayer and his word, and he can take me places that you and I can't go on our own. So when I can't get the job, and I can't let go, and you can't let go of the addiction my own way, I go to him, and he takes me where only he can take me. Why? Because he's a king, because he's a holy God, and because he wants to be your guide as the wonderful counselor. Here's the second thing that Jesus offers to you and I at Christmas as the king. Number two, he's offering to strengthen you as the mighty God. Not a mighty God or not one of the mighty gods. He is the mighty God. And Psalm 147, verse 5, it says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in power." How much power? Abundantly, full of power. Not like limited power, and not like my Apple iPhone who just downloaded the new software and now it's starting to die. That's the whole thing, by the way. I don't know what's going on with that. I got the upgrade and I got the downgrade at the same time. I got like 25 minutes of charge. But the psalmist says, no, he's great. He's set up. He's different. Why? Because he has abundant power. And then Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, that Paul writes this. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." When I was a kid, I remember playing baseball, and we had minors, and then you would have majors, and then around eighth grade, I'd have Pony League. And then from there, you go into high school ball. And I remember I was a little bit too old, and we skipped minors and went right to majors, and we were trying out for the team, and I had a pretty good arm, and then I saw the catcher's gear. I'm like, ooh, who gets to wear that? That's pretty sweet. They said, "The person that plays catcher." I said, "Great, let me try it on. I have no idea what that is, but let me put it on." I put the mask on. I put the little protection on the chest and the knee pads. And then, you know, they didn't have the cushions back then, but they had all the gear, had the glove. And I remember kind of like sitting down and learning the positions and how to sweep. But in the beginning, it was rough. I mean, no, it's rough when you're eight and the ball's coming at you, and no one throws strikes in eighth grade. Come on now. The ball's everywhere. It's everywhere except for here in my glove. The batter's getting hit, I'm getting hit, everyone's getting hit. And when I'm first learning to play catcher, I'm flinching and I'm moving and I'm scared to get hit. I'm scared of what's coming at me. But then the first time it hit me on purpose and I felt it and I went, wow, that didn't hurt that bad. And the next time I had a little more courage and it hit me in the face mask, I'm, wow, nothing actually happened. And the next time it hit me in the glove and in the side, but I had the protection on, I had the armor and I had the knee pads, it just bounced off me and nothing happened. God can do the same thing. He wants to put his spiritual armor on you. Why? Because he can clothe you as a mighty God. He can clothe you with salvation. He can clothe you with prayer. He can clothe you with truth. He can clothe you with his righteousness. And so when the fiery schemes and the darts and the enemy throws whatever he wants at you, he can give you divorce, he can give you lies, he can give you insecurity. I don't have to run, I don't have to flinch, I don't have to turn, I'm not afraid because I know I have the armor of God on me. He is my mighty God. He is the King of Kings. He is great, he's holy. And he covers me. What is Jesus offering as this great, holy, set apart, better than ever king? Well, he wants to be your wonderful counselor. Number two, he wants to strengthen you as a mighty God. And number three, he offers to love you as the everlasting Father. That's what Isaiah said. He is a wonderful counselor. He is a mighty God. He'll be called everlasting Father. And Isaiah isn't confused about who the Father is, because Jesus is not the heavenly Father. But why does he say he will be called the everlasting Father? You got to look at the scriptures in John 14. Jesus is talking to his friends, his disciples, and he tells them, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen who? The Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father." My dad's is right over there, Wayne Gibson. Wave your hand, Dad, so people can see you. Come on now, there he is, Wayne Gibson, right there. I remember watching my mom and dad and their marriage and the way they did things and how they took care of the home. And there was a few things that my dad did that I remember that stand out till this day. I remember weekly car washes in the driveway. My mom and dad would wash the cars. I remember my dad mowing the lawn every week. We would always have fresh cut green grass. I remember my dad for work would always have dry clean shirts. And if you couldn't get the dry clean, my mom was ironing these shirts and starching them up super crispy, like crispy. Like cut your finger on the seam crispy. And then every week there'd be a fresh haircut. That's what my dad did. Here I am, I'm 40 years old. You know what I do every week? My wife and I, we wash the cars in the driveway. Every other week we get fresh cut green grass. Almost every week I get a clean haircut. And every single day I wake up and I iron my clothes or I take them to the dry cleaning. Here's what I'm saying. If you wanted to know a little bit about my Father, you can look at me. Jesus says, if you want to know what the Heavenly Father is like, you look at me. You want to know what his love is like? You can look at my love. You want to know what the authority of God is like? You can look at Jesus. You want to know what his kindness and his compassion is, our Heavenly Father? You can look to Jesus. He tells his disciples. And then in 1 John 3:1, it says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." So Holy King Jesus, 2,000 years ago, humbles himself out of glory, comes down, is born in a manger to do the work and the will of the Father. And the Father's work and the Father's will is to lavishly love you. Guess what Jesus comes to do? To lavishly love you. And I just think that someone came to church today at one of our campuses, and you need to know that Jesus lavishly loves you. He's not angry with you. He doesn't want to condemn you in your sin or your shame. He loves you right where you are. Too much to keep you there, but he loves you right where you are. And so, ladies, Jesus is here to say, I love you. I think you're incredible. I think you're worthy. I think you're respectable. I think you're beautiful. I think you're smart. I have a great plan for your life. And fellas, God, Jesus is here to tell you that he loves you too. He thinks you're strong. He thinks you're courageous. He thinks that you have what it takes to be successful. He has a plan for your life. He hasn't picked anybody. He's picked you to be you. He's got a plan for your family. He lavishly, lavishly loves you. That's what a great king has come to do. Christmas is called holy because it was the moment that God gave us the most holy life. He was the king. And this king, Isaiah says, will be called Wonderful Counselor. He can guide you and direct you. He'll be called Mighty God and clothe you with power and clothe you with protection. He'll be an everlasting Father to just shower you with his love. And number four, he wants to redeem you as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. I brought this picture with me. Maybe we can show this picture as we play. This is called the Christmas Truce. There it is. The Christmas Truce. I told you that last week we were inspired for this season, this series, by the song Silent Night. And it was written, history tells us, in 1816 by two Catholic priests. In a moment where they didn't have the organ on Christmas Eve, and what are they gonna do for music? And one of them had a suddenly aha breakthrough moment, remembers the poem that was given to them that he wrote. They put music to it and they write the song Silent Night. It becomes the most recorded Christmas song of all time, written in over 100 languages, and has been sung for over 200 years all across the world. At this time of year, people are declaring the praises of a king. Well, fast forward 100 years from the day that song was written. And this painting, portrait, is a picture of what happened on Christmas Eve in the middle of World War I between the Germans and the British. And that night, cold, I'm sure, with men on the field, lost their life, anger and frustration, for whatever reason, in a holy moment, the Germans began to sing that song, Silent Night. And as they listened in, the other side began to sing, "O Holy Night." And just for a moment, even though no one commanded it, and none of the overseers even approved it, just in a radical holy moment, they begin to lay down the pain and the anger and the frustration, and they come out of the trenches and come out of the holes, and they begin to exchange gifts, whatever they had. You got an apple, I got a scarf. Will you help me pick up these bodies? They would take the bodies, and there was no pain, there was no anger, there was just peace. And that's what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the most holy night in history. He comes to be our peace. Ephesians 2:13, I'll end with this verse. It says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." His purpose, his great purpose, was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace. So Jesus comes at Christmas. That's what makes it so holy, to be a king, but not to be praised and just so he could have gold and people sitting at his feet. No, he was born also that he could die, to become our perfect peace. And he takes this great chasm, this barrier wall of hostility, this perfect holy God, and this sinful, just dark man, and he comes right in the middle and says, "You put your life in my hands, and I become the Prince of Peace in your life." That's why I think I'm a good king. That's what makes Christmas so holy, is it was the moment that God brings us the most holy life. And he was a king, but he didn't just come to be a king. Look up here. He didn't just come to be the king. He didn't even come to be a Christmas king. He came 2,000 years ago to be your king. So that's the question. Is Jesus your king? I want to give you that chance right now to make that decision to all of our campuses, just to say, today's the day. Today's the day that he becomes my king. He's been my friend. He's been my ticket to heaven, but I don't know that he's ever been my king. I don't know that I've been living a life that's set apart for his glory. So that's you. I want you to bow your heads, all of us, close your eyes, and if you need to pray that prayer, maybe for the very first time, or maybe as a recommitment back to the hands of King Jesus on this holy moment right now, no one looking around, I want you to pray this prayer in the privacy of your heart. Just say, "Dear God, I admit that I've fallen short of your glory. I admit that I need a Savior. I'm a sinner, but I can admit it. And I believe that you love me. And I believe you have the power to forgive my sin. I believe that you're holy. You're better. You're greater. Come into my life. Be my king right now. Spirit of God, fill my heart. Make me brand new. Take away the old life. Thank you for the new life. I love you." As everyone's heads are bowed, your eyes are closed at all the locations and online, if you made that decision today, you pray that prayer for whatever reason, I'm gonna count to three in just a moment. I wanna encourage you to be bold and courageous and just shoot your hand up so I can see you. Your campus pastor wants to pray for you. Your host pastor wants to pray for you. I wanna pray for you. So on the count of three, you prayed that prayer. I want you to shoot your hand up nice and high. No one looking around. 1, 2, 3. Hands going up all across the room. Awesome. Wow. Hundreds of hands. God bless you. 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 We see you. Put your hands down. Lord, thank you for every single life, every single soul that said, "Jesus, be my king. Jesus, be my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my friend. You're my master. You're Lord of all." And so, Lord, we shift our gaze away from the world to be set apart with you to live a holy life with a holy king on a holy day and a holy moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's thank the Lord, church. Come on. Would you do something with me? We've released the campuses with their congregation, but here, if you want to stick around, we're going to sing "O Holy Night" one more time. We sang it at the front. What a great way to wrap up a moment of just praise and glory. just acknowledging the greatness of King Jesus and remembering the power that's in a holy moment on a holy night 2,000 years ago. Let's bring that to this moment right now. Would you stand to your feet together as our team leads us? Awesome.
Why don't we end this time in worshiping the Lord?
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth.
Shall he break
for the slavery?
Sing this with us.
Holy, holy are you, Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb.
Let me hear you.
You are.
That's it, church.
Holy. Are you, Lord God? Are you, Lord God Almighty? Sing, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb.
One more time, say it.